Years ago, one of my housemates and I met a young man sitting on the corner of our street. He looked as though he might have been waiting for a bus, although there was no bus line anywhere nearby. David, my housemate, asked if we could be of help to him, and he said, "No thanks, I'm just waiting." "Waiting for what?" I asked. And he said, "I'm waiting for God to tell me what to do." That was intriguing enough for two seminarians to want to know more. So as the conversation went on, he said that he wasn't working, he wasn't in school, he wasn't involved in a community or a church or even a family, it seemed. He was just, as he said, hanging out, waiting for a word from God to point him in the right direction. He wasn't sure who would deliver that word, but he was quite sure that it would be direct, verbal, specific, and unmistakable. And so he was just waiting around until it came to him. I think about him a lot during Advent. Advent is about time, waiting time, hopeful time, and consideration of how we are to use our time until our hope is fulfilled. It is rightfully the beginning of our church year, the way that pregnancy is the beginning of childbirth, preparation is the beginning of a feast, or most aptly in this case, cleaning house is the beginning of welcoming a beloved and honored guest. Advent is this dedicated time for us to get ready for Jesus to arrive, not only into our hearts and homes, but into the world at large, both once and for all. If Advent is about time, it is also about seeing and keeping a sort of double vision, actually more like a triple vision. On the one hand, we have this time of Advent which points us toward the Christmas we've got on the calendar. We look ahead to a particular day to celebrate Jesus' birth, so we know where to set our sights in preparation. As we sing in one of our Advent carols, "People look east. The time is near of the crowning of the year. Make your house fair as you are able. Trim the hearth and set the table. People look east and sing today. Love, the guest, is on the way." On the other hand, though, unlike our birthdays where we celebrate turning 6 or 60 or 81, at Christmas we look backward to the birth of Jesus and we celebrate the earth-shattering wonder that the eternal Word of God came into the world 2 millennia ago as a fragile baby. The light of all creation pinpointed into a tiny speck of human light born in an animal stall in a rural town of maybe 1,000 people. We look forward to a Christmas day full of gifts and feasting because we look back to the day when the gift of Jesus, the Christ, was born in the town of Bethlehem, the house of bread. But there's the third hand, and where our triple vision comes into play. Because if we follow the lectionary scriptures for this season of Advent, they don't set our sights on the day of Christmas either upcoming or past, but on the prophesied day of the Lord, the second coming of Christ that is described as the culmination of all time and space, with all the upheaval that one would expect from such a consummation of God's creation. And we've heard the references to that time in both scriptures for today. And while neither Paul nor Jesus gave their hearers a date on the calendar to plan for, both advised that readiness for that event was critical and that it was to be anticipated with hope, even with all of those fearful images. So there's quite a bit of cognitive dissonance in holding together those two images of our Advent focus, the picture of the birth of the sweet baby Jesus in the manger, and the picture of the transcendent Holy One breaking through the clouds with all power and glory. But between these two, the bottom line is this: what we are looking for in this season, what we are waiting for with all our hearts, is Jesus' entry into the world, into our world. Which begs the question, how do we wait? Whether for the birth we expect on December 25th or for the final coming we know not when, what do we do with our time until that coming? We could ask ourselves the same questions in more close to home ways as well, as we struggle with the reaches of the COVID virus, for instance. How do we conduct ourselves until the virus is eradicated? Or how do we conduct ourselves until all are immunized? Or we could ask this question: as we walk through this newly odd middle ground interim time in an interim time, what do we do with ourselves until we know our next steps in the search process, or until a search committee is formed, or until a new pastor is in place? These Advent questions all point to the deeply felt sense that where we are now is not where we are meant to be. And that deep sense of longing and incompleteness, actually, is good news. Maria Boulding, who was born in 1929 and lived 62 of her 80 years as a British Benedictine nun, translated the words of St. Augustine. She was a theologian in her own right. And in her 1982 book, The Coming of God, she addressed this sense of Advent hope, long for union with God, yet sometimes wonder what that means or whether it can mean anything at all. You are already walking with the God who comes. If you are at times so weary and involved with the struggle of living that you have no strength even to want God, and yet are dissatisfied still that you don't, you're already keeping Advent in your life. God creates in human hearts a huge desire and a sense of need because God wants to fill them with the gift of God's own self. It is because God's self-sharing love is there first that such hope can be in us. God's longing for us is the spring of our longing for God. Which is to say that part of how we wait in these between times is in trust that God isn't just coming sometime in the future, but is already here. We wait by holding on to that trust, and by paying attention to the signs of God's light in the darkness. Our Sunday school adult faith formation group today talked about some of those ordinary moments in life when we see something anew for the first time and can say, aha, God is here. We notice examples of God's self-sharing love wherever there is sacrificial caring for others, and that's part of how we wait. We celebrate the places where beauty and glory of God's vision for the world is already being fulfilled. We cheer when we see, in the Apostle Paul's words, the powers and principalities of this world taken down, and justice flowing, and the power of love rising to rule. We stay on the lookout for glimpses of God's hope for integrity, grace, wholeness, love, and joy coming to life. We wait with hope by keeping our eyes and hearts tuned toward where God's will for good is already being done on earth as in heaven. Paul tells us in a roundabout way in his letter to the Thessalonians that another way to wait is by committing to pray for each other. and by growing in love for one another. Traveling as he did, far from the churches that he had founded, Paul knew that uncertainty and distance can have a way of rattling the foundations in a community of faith and siloing us and drawing us into ourselves and raising the specter of our fears and turning them into barriers or conflict between us. But it doesn't have to be that way. This Advent time is an opportunity for us to pray even more earnestly for each other and find creative ways to demonstrate God's love both within and outside the body of this congregation. We really are all in this together. And no matter how long or short until the time our hope is fulfilled, we will be strengthened and sustained by carrying each other on the way. Until God's light breaks through the darkness, we are called to bear the light for one another. We can lean on each other's faith when our own is lagging. And even while we keep on the lookout for glimpses of God's goodness, we also need to come alongside with love wherever there is brokenness or pain or despair. Pretending that hurt isn't there will only drive the wounds deeper in the world and in a church body, just as much as in a human body. So we can prepare for the way and the truth and the life to enter our lives by committing ourselves to truthfulness as we wait. Jesus' words in Luke are also an encouragement in this Advent waiting. And he reminds us that even when all around us is crumbling, our posture is not to cower, but to stand up and raise our heads, because our redemption is closer than ever. Jesus' vision of signs in the heaven and distress on the earth could well have been ripped from the headlines in recent times. But here's the thing. They could just as well have been ripped from the headlines of the Jerusalem Times in his day. And his descriptions are borrowed from the Hebrew prophets generations earlier, when they were just as accurate portrayals of the cataclysms that Israel faced. In fact, has there ever been a generation that has not experienced the world crumbling around them in some way? Every day, we are one day closer to the end. And every day, we are one day closer to redemption. We get to choose how we wait until that time comes, heads down or heads up, hiding from challenging realities or trusting that God is here to walk with us through them. Here's what I believe. If we wait with our heads up and alert for the good news of God's presence coming into the world, if we wait with our hearts bowed in prayer and with our eyes soft toward one another, our mouths ready to speak the truth in love and our ears willing to listen for sometimes painful truth, and with our hands willing to share what gifts we have already received, then our waiting itself will be part of the good news that we are looking for. And others will see it as good news too. Just on Thanksgiving Day last week, a dear friend of mine, someone who is as radiant a reflection of God's grace as I can imagine, sent me this poem by Maya Angelou. I read it and I thought, this is what we need to hear in our Advent waiting. This is how we are called to live until the time comes when all our waiting is over. And this is her poem called Continue. My wish for you is that you continue. continue to be who you are and how you are, to astonish a mean world with your acts of kindness. Continue to allow humor to lighten the burden of your tender heart. Continue, in a society dark with cruelty, to let the people hear the grandeur of God in the peals of your laughter. Continue to let your eloquence elevate the people to heights they had only imagined. Continue to remind the people that each is as good as the other and no one is beneath nor above you. Continue to remember your own young years and look with favor upon the lost and the least and the lonely. Continue to put the mantle of your protection around the bodies of the young and defenseless. Continue to take the hand of the despised and diseased and walk proudly with them. In the high street, some might see you and be encouraged to do likewise. Continue to plant a public kiss of concern on the cheek of the sick and the aged and the infirm, and count that as a natural action to be expected. Continue to let gratitude be the pillow upon which you kneel to say your nightly prayer, and let faith be the bridge you build to overcome evil and welcome good. Continue to dare to love deeply and risk everything for the good thing. Continue to float happily in the sea of infinite substance which has set aside riches for you before you had a name. Continue, and by doing so, you and your work will be able to continue eternally. About 3 years ago, I had my own experience of anxious waiting as I was hospitalized for the better part of 2 weeks. Your prayers and visits and cards and caring sustained me in ways that I really don't have words for still. But something else sustained me as well, which you had no idea of, and that was your singing. This refrain that was part of our weekly worship at the time stayed in my head day and night and reminded me that the arrival of Jesus in Bethlehem, the arrival of Jesus in the world, is only part of God's love coming into the world, and that we have our part to share as well. And here's what we used to sing. Until all are fed, we cry out. Until all on earth have bread, like the one who loves us, each and every one, we serve until all are fed. And by doing so, God and God's work will be able to continue coming into the world eternally. May it be so. Amen.